1. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1. I'm so thankful for all of our young people. I want to tell you how good it looks to this pastor and to many of you parents that have mentioned this to me, to see our young people up front worshiping God. Amen. Excited about the work of God. Amen. I appreciate each of you young people listening to pastor's request that you sit up front. It really makes me proud. I thank you. Thank you. Amen. Let's give our young people a hand right now. I'm thankful that our young people have a church to grow up in. I'm thankful for the safety of the church, the blessing of the church, the help of the church. Praise the Lord. I pray that we're not too harsh and judgmental on our young people, but I pray that we all have a burden for them, that we pray and lift them up to the Lord and encourage them. Amen. I want them to grow up and do mighty things for God. So that's what the purpose of this church is to enable people to do what God's called them to do. And we're excited about our youth group and what God is doing. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." I believe that God is dealt with me to deliver this to you today. The thought is simply this: broken in the master's hand. Broken in the master's hand. Dear God, I thank you for what we feel. I thank you for the liberty of worship and praise, the freedom and the spirit that is in this house. And God, I know, I feel that there's been some who have come here today burdened, God, dealing with brokenness, dealing with situations in life that are so heavy. But I pray, God, that through your word today, there would be encouragement. There would be enlightening. That, Lord, let there be revelation, I pray, that we're in this process, God. And you're not finished with us yet, but you're still working on us. And God, I pray that your mighty hand would move in every life and every situation. God, that when we leave this house today, we would leave with our faith standing upon your word and our faith standing upon your power. And go forth today realizing that you're not done with us yet, but Lord, you're still working on me. You're still working on us, and you're going to do something great in our lives. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Does anybody believe that? Would anybody receive that today? Hallelujah. Lord, I receive that. I receive that, Lord. God, you're still working on me. I'm not quite the finished product yet, but God, I'm going to keep trusting you. I'm going to keep close to you, Lord. I'm going to keep faithful to you, God, in the name of Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. I would like to start today and give a little disclaimer. This sermon today is not to those who are perfect. If you're here in this house today and you've never made a mistake, if you've never messed up, if you've never had any issues, then I'll just be honest with you. This sermon isn't for you. But for those today who have messed up, you've had some problems along the way somewhere, and those who have been broken a time or two by circumstances. Hey, for those here who aren't perfect, But you've had to get up after you've fallen down, and you've had to dust a little mud off of your knees once in a while. You've had to determine whether you're going to keep going when it wasn't easy. Well, those of you here like that today, I've come to preach to you. I've come to preach to you just a little bit from the Word of God. Amen. I've come to tell you God is not through with us yet. God is not finished with us yet. He's still working on me. He's still working on you. Come on, somebody needs to declare here today, I'm not what I'm gonna be yet, but oh, thank God I'm not what I used to be. I may not be the finished work yet, but I'm thank God that He's called me out. I'm thank God that He's delivered me. I'm thank God that He covered my sins with His blood. I'm not everything I'm going to be yet, but oh, thank God, I'm not what I used to be. Come on, is anybody a work in progress? I may have a long ways to go, but thank God if I'm in the Master's hand. If I'm in the Master's hand, come on, somebody, thank God, you're in the Master's hand today. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, arise and go down to the potter's house. And there on the potter's wheel, the vessel of clay was marred. It was broken in the hand of the potter. It's at this point that the potter does something that shows his knowledge and his experience with the clay. He wasn't just an amateur. This wasn't the first time he'd worked with clay. If that had been you or I, well, if that vessel of clay had been marred, if that project had been broken, we would have likely just cast it aside. But not the potter, not the master, but as the vessel of clay was marred in his hands, he took it and he made it again. He made it into another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. And then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand. What a picture of mankind in the hands of the Master. From the very beginning, think with me today of how God formed Adam of the dust of the ground. And it was a beautiful thing, the creation of man. And oh, it's wonderful to read the story of how God created us and how God breathed the breath of life into us. But then man fell into sin, and sin marred the human race, and mankind became broken, and we were damaged goods. And God could have allowed mankind to remain in that fallen state. We would have remained a broken and a marred vessel. We'd have been just thrown out on a trash heap somewhere. But oh, instead, God in His mercy, in His great love, He chose to reclaim us from that broken place. He chose to bring us out of that marred place where we could never be used. And He redeemed us from our sin. And He shed His blood. That was the price to remake us. And so now we are rescued from that condition. We are reclaimed from our failure. We are constructed again from that place of brokenness. It was in the hand of the potter that the lump of clay became marred. It cracked. It didn't yield to his hand as he wished. And so the potter takes it and crushes it down. And it seems that it's destroyed completely. There's no shape or form left. And there's nothing to remind you of what the clay had been before. But then the potter takes it and he adds some water to it. And he starts the wheel again, and he goes back to work on that lump of clay, and he makes it into another vessel. I've come to tell somebody here today that as long as there's something left to make, as long as there's something left to make, he'll do it. Come on, where are those here today that you've made some mistakes along the way? And yes, you've been broken, but when we're broken in the hand of the potter, when we're broken in the hand of the master, there's still hope for us. Come on, it's okay to be broken in the hands of God. It's okay to yield to the pressure of the Master's hand as we are broken and marred, because only He can make us again. Hey, somebody, I've come to tell you, you might think you're a failure. You might think you've messed up one too many times. You feel like you're broken beyond repair, but it's okay to be a failure if you're in the Master's hand. It's okay to make a mess if you're in the Master's hand. If you yield to the potter's hand, it's okay to be broken. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know you feel like a failure, and I know the enemy tells you it's no use to keep trying, and you might as well just quit coming to church, and you might as well just give up, and you've messed up so much, you might as well just go ahead and just completely backslide. That's because the enemy knows the power of the Master's wheel. He knows the power of the potter's wheel. He knows the power of when we're broken in the hands of God. You see, to all the world, when you're broken, it's the end. There's no use. There's nothing left for you. But when we're broken in the potter's hand, when we're broken in the Master's hand, I want to tell you, there's unlimited potential, because He can make you into what He wants to use you for. The enemy will do everything he can to keep us out of the hand of God. He'll do everything he can to keep us out of the house of God, out of the one place that he knows that we can be remade, that one place that our brokenness can work for our good. Don't forsake the house of God. When you failed, when you've messed up, you ought to run right back to the house of God. Don't let the enemy keep you away. That's the worst thing you could ever do, because when we take ourselves off the potter's wheel, when we take ourselves out of the Master's hand and put ourselves into our own hand, we can't fix ourselves. And Satan has no desire to fix us, but he's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You don't let the enemy keep you away from the church. But when we fail, when we mess up, we ought to get back up and run with everything we've got back to the house of God. We ought to run with everything we have right back into the hands of God. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8 declares, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise." Proverbs 24 and 16, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." Hey, what's the difference in a Christian who makes it to heaven and a sinner who's lost? That Christian just kept getting back up. They kept repenting. They kept coming back to the house of God. They kept staying in the church. They were broken, but it was in the Master's hand. They were a failure, but they failed in the Master's hand. "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I fall, I shall arise." Come on, today somebody needs to get back up. Somebody needs to get back up again. Come on, let me tell you, Satan has fallen and he can't get back up. Satan has fallen and he can't get back up. He fell from heaven like lightning, and there's no hope for him. There's no way out for him. But you don't join him in that place. Hey, I've come to tell you, there's hope for your life. There's hope for every situation. There's hope for you. There's hope for me. Come on, somebody needs to get back up. "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. I might have fallen, I might have failed, I might have messed up, but I'm not staying in that place. I'm getting back up again. I'm coming back to the house of God. I'm keeping my life in the hands of the Master." Hallelujah. If God's allowing us to go through it, if he's allowing us to experience it, and somehow it's for our good. Somehow it's for his glory. Yes, God knows our failures and God knows our mistakes. But if we'll be broken in the hand of God, then I believe God wants to take our brokenness. He wants to take our failures, our mistakes, and make us into a vessel that he can use. Look at the life of David. David messed up. David was a failure. Not only was he an adulterer, he was a murderer. But read with me in Psalm 51 in verse 1. The preface in my Bible says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. David said, have mercy on me. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Looking then, Psalm 51, verse 7, he said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He goes on to say in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Here we have David repenting before God. He committed adultery and murder. But we don't find him cursing God. We see him worshiping God. Instead of being angry with God, we see him thanking God for breaking his bones. Why would you thank God for something like that? Thank you, God, for breaking my bones. Why would you want to have joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice? We've got to realize today that God has plans for us. He knows the place that he wants to put us in his kingdom. He's designed that place. He's designed that ministry. He's designed that calling just for us. But God also knows we won't fit there the way we are. We won't fit there the way that we used to be, but we've got to be broken. Our pride is much too big to fit where he wants to use us. Come on, our ego is too much to fit in that place that he has created for us. Our will won't fit in that place that he's designed for us. And so somewhere along the way, we've got to be broken and our will has got to be crushed. The sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit. He won't despise a broken and a contrite heart. If we're going to fit in that place that God designed for us, we've got to be broken. Praise the Lord. I've come to tell somebody today, your failure is about to become your best help. Your problem, that thing that the enemy sent to try to destroy you, you thought it was for evil, but I want to tell you, God's going to take it and he's going to turn it for good. Your mistake is about to be something that you can minister to others through. Come on, your mess up is about to become the means by which God can use you. Come on, you need to hear the word today. If God is going to get any glory in your life, then we've got to be broken. But it's okay today if we'll allow ourselves to be broken in the Master's hand. If we'll submit to the Master's plan. If we'll submit to his will. He didn't break you to throw you away, but he broke you to make you again. I know it feels bad. I know it's terrible. I know it's not fun, but we've all got to be broken because he wants to get us to where we can fit in his purpose and do his work. The clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel. We may not think that there's much left of us, but if we'll submit to God, then he'll make us again. He'll make us anew. There may not be much left, but he'll make something of us when we're broken in the Master's hand. I recently read an interview with an orthopedic surgeon discussing the treatment for people with malalignment, which is having bones that are not aligned correctly or even twisted. Often it happens from a break that did not heal correctly. People with this condition will often undergo a procedure where an orthopedic specialist will break those bones in the right places to allow for proper alignment and healing. This procedure, it often gives people chance to use limbs that they couldn't use before, or it makes it easier for them to walk or relieve back pain that was caused by the condition. What's so interesting to see is that those orthopedic specialists, they know how to break the bones in all the right places to allow the bone to develop and to heal properly. I wonder who it is today that you feel like you've been broken. You feel like your life has been broken. You feel like the plan that God had for you has been broken. You feel like you've messed it all up. You know that you've been through some stuff, and it is trying to destroy you. And hey, it could have been the end of things. But because you're in the Master's hand today, yes, you're broken. But I want to tell somebody by faith, you're broken in all the right places. You're broken in all the right places. Because God, in His mercy and His love, He allowed some things to come to your life. And because there was some malalignment, there was something that wouldn't fit into the destiny that He had for you. But because you submitted to the hand of God in your life, there was some brokenness that God allowed to come your way so that you could be broken in all the right places, and so that God could make you into His vision for you, that He could make you into His purpose. Somebody today, you just need to declare, yes, I'm broken. Yes, I'm broken. Yes, I'm flawed. I'm going through a struggle right now. I'm facing some battles right now, but I'm just broken in all the right places. Come on. And what the devil meant for evil, what the devil meant to destroy me, what the devil's trying to use to keep me down, what the devil meant for evil, God's going to turn it for my good. I told you I'm not preaching to all you perfect people, but I'm preaching to somebody who's had a little brokenness. I'm preaching to somebody who's messed stuff up. I'm preaching to somebody, come on, you've had some problems along the way, and you don't even know how God could use you. But God says today, I know you're broken, but just stay in my hand, stay in my will, stay in the church, and I'm going to make you again. God didn't cause you to sin, but in spite of your sin, God's going to take the brokenness in your life and bring something good from it. God didn't cause that failure that you just can't seem to get over, and the enemy keeps bringing it up, trying to keep you down, trying to put you down. But the reality is, it was that failure that allowed you to be broken in all the right places, and God's going to use that failure to produce a more perfect child of God. God didn't make you backslide, but if you'll give that brokenness that came from that time in your life, if you'll give it to God, if you'll submit to God, then you'll be broken in all the right places. David, the man after God's own heart. David, the worshiper. David, the mighty king. David, the type and foreshadowing of Christ, in order for David to fit in the place that God had destined for him, David had to be broken. But in the hands of God, he was broken in all the right places. And that's why he could say in Psalm 51 and 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Broken in the Master's hand so that he can remake us to fulfill his will, to be used by his anointing, to change our world around us. We couldn't do it like we were before. We couldn't do it when we were whole. We couldn't have the same anointing before we were broken. It took us being humbled. It took us struggling. It took our failure to set us up for victory. It took that mess to get us how we needed to be. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." So Paul comes back and says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." It wasn't until those infirmities, it wasn't until that struggle, it wasn't until that place of brokenness that Paul could be used in such a mighty manner, that Paul could be used to evangelize the world of that time. And I've come to tell somebody today that before you were broken, you just couldn't do everything that God had for you. But now that you've been broken, just stay in the Master's hand, and he's going to make you again. Come on, you think God's been ignoring your prayers? You've been begging God for deliverance. You've been asking God to get rid of that messenger of Satan, to deliver you from that trial. God's not ignoring you. God knows where you're at. God sees what you're going through. But when we're in the hands of the Master, that's when he can say to us, I've got a purpose through this. And my grace is sufficient for you. As long as we're trying to make it on our own, this doesn't work. But if we'll submit in the hands of God and let his strength be made perfect in our weakness, when we're broken in all the right places, his grace is sufficient for us. Don't let the devil steal that victory. Don't let him steal your anointing. Don't let him steal the blessing that comes from the battles you're facing. But through bitterness and through anger, what God is allowing you to go through, the devil wants to destroy your miracle. I just kind of feel like if I'm going through the process, I want to get something out of this. Come on, if I'm going to go through this battle, I want to reap the rewards and the benefits of it. Don't waste the process. If you're going through a trial, don't waste the trial. Don't waste the struggle. But allow yourself to be broken in the hands of the Master. Would you stand with me today? Going to tell somebody today, God hasn't forgot about you. He still wants to use your life for his glory. Think about Jonah. He's in the belly of the whale, the great fish. He's all tangled up in seaweed. He hasn't slept in 3 days. I don't know, he probably hadn't eaten in 3 days either. But Jonah was just as called in the belly of the whale as he was when he was back on dry ground. Because God sees the end from the beginning. And God uses stuff like failure He takes our mistakes and he turns them from good. Do you remember the god Dagon of the Philistines? According to ancient mythology, Dagon was the father of Baal. He was the fish god, represented by a half fish, half man figure. The Philistines, they offered a great feast to Dagon, believing that their idol had delivered Samson into their hands. It was into a temple of Dagon that the Philistines carried the head of King Saul and displayed it there. And in 1 Samuel chapter 5, it was the idol Dagon that was humiliated by the God of Israel. The Philistines had just captured the Ark of the Covenant. So they brought it to the city of Ashdod, and they set it up in their temple next to their god Dagon. When they got up the next day, the idol Dagon had fallen on its face next to the Ark of the Covenant. They set it all back up, went to bed, came back the next day. The next day again, it was fallen on its face before the Ark of the Covenant. But this time, its head and its hands had broken off. I'm going somewhere. Dagon figures into the story of Jonah. You can learn from studying history, the people in Nineveh, where Jonah was sent as a missionary, they worshiped Dagon along with his female counterpart, a fish goddess named Nanshi. Of course, Jonah didn't go directly to Nineveh, but God had to get him a miraculous Uber ride, a taxi for those. It was a great fish. Can you imagine the people of Nineveh worshiping their god, their fish god? What do you think they thought when they saw this fish coming up out of the sea? And it opens up its mouth, and out comes Jonah picking off seaweed. And he preaches to them the gospel. He preaches repentance. Don't you know that got Nineveh's attention? Don't you know they paid attention to Jonah? Don't you know they were impressed by this man who had spent 3 days in the belly of the fish, and the whole city repented? God didn't cause Jonah's sin. But when Jonah did sin, and when Jonah repented, God knows the end from the beginning. He took that situation and he turned it into something that brought him glory. And God didn't make you sin. God didn't make your failure. But when you repent and when you allow yourself to be broken in his hands, then he can take what should have destroyed us. He can take what should have sent us to hell. He can take what should have broken us beyond all repair. And he takes that mess, and he takes that mistake, he takes that misfortune, and he turns it into something that he gets the glory for. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve when we're broken in the hands of the Master. Oh, when we allow his hands to break us and to make us into something great, when we're broken in all the right places. In this altar call today, if you know that you're experiencing some brokenness, if you know that maybe right now today you're in the process of being broken, you're in the process of going through a trial, you're in the process of suffering some things, and life has brought its best against you, and the enemy's doing everything he can to destroy you, and maybe you've messed up, and maybe you've failed, and maybe you've caused all kinds of grief to people around you, but if you're in that process of being broken today, and if you don't want to waste the process,
You don't want to go through this for nothing. But you want God to be able to take this process and bring some good out of it. Then you need to get out from your pew and you need to make it to this altar right now. And you need to say, God, keep me in your hands. Oh, Master, keep me on that potter's wheel. Don't quit working on me. Don't quit working on me, but Lord, make me into what you want me to be. Come on, is there anybody here you want to take advantage of this process? You want to take advantage of this brokenness. You want to allow yourself to be broken in the Master's hand so that he can make something great in your life. Come on, would you come and put yourself right back into his plan for you? Would you come and put yourself right back into his hands so that he can make you again and he can produce something that brings him glory?